Syndicated from the Circus, the greatest 30 minutes every week about, well, whatever the hell is happening here in this country. That's the thing. If you just look at it from Washington down, which we try not to do all the time, but this week we have the debate in Ohio, and then you've got the stuff that's happened in Washington at the end of the week that has just been, I don't know, things I never thought I would see. So where do you guys go this week?
Well, you know, once again, it's 1,001 days in, and each day we say it can't get any crazier, and then the next day comes, and behold, it does. You mentioned the debate. That seems like it was a month ago now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, that was Tuesday. I thought the debate was great. I thought it was really interesting, and I thought we learned something, and I thought for the first time that Warren looked a little wobbly and vulnerable, and that there's the possibility now that, and Biden, again, just not as strong as a front runner should be. So I think there's the potential, at least, for Buttigieg or Klobuchar or somebody to make a move in Iowa now. And remember, when I may say make a move, all they have to do is run third, and because the story may be who runs third in Iowa. They, you know, it's always about expectations, and so if, I don't know, Warren and Biden kind of battle it out for first or second, instead of Buttigieg is the third, that could be the story driving into New Hampshire. And anyway, so yeah, I think we all thought that was kind of getting fixed in cement, and I think it's still loose. And then we have just the madness in Washington, which couldn't get any crazier than the chief of staff coming out, holding a wild press conference where, first of all, he announces that after a deep and wide search, they've discovered the only place to hold the G7 meeting is Trump's property. Which is, you know, to those constitutional lawyers, I think a violation of the Emoluments Clause. But then to say it was a quid pro quo, and if you don't like it, get over it. And then went back into the White House, and then, I don't know, a couple hours later, after being whipped, certainly by his boss and lawyers, I'm sure, came back out and said, it was no quid pro quo, and just defying what he said on camera.
It seems like he gave himself, on the first pass of that, a little bit of wiggle room. At least he thought he was giving himself wiggle room by saying, this is the kind of thing that's done all the time. Because horse trading in diplomacy is done all the time. That was not the specific context of what was happening at that very moment. John Carl from ABC News was asking him, getting that information, was that in exchange for getting the military funding?
So the demand for an investigation into the Democrats was part of the reason that he ordered to withhold funding to Ukraine.
The look back to what happened in 2016 certainly was part of the thing that he was worried about in corruption with that nation. Then that is absolutely appropriate.
But to be clear, what you just described is a quid pro quo. It is funding will not flow unless the investigation into the Democratic server happens as well.
We do that all the time with foreign policy. And I have news for everybody. Get over it.
There's been so many, Mark McKinnon, so many moments in the last 6 months that are just like the end of A Few Good Men.
Did you order the code red?
You're damn right I did!
Right? Where the I'm just expecting that during these moments, like all of a sudden, all these people come out and they handcuff Mick Mulvaney and they take him away. The president does not seem to care. The president was at a rally last night in Dallas. There were 20,000 people. The MAGA community is still very, very, very much behind him. And then he tested the tolerance even of his own people in that room by making this argument that it's okay to let the Turks attack the Kurds.
And it was unconventional what I did. I said, they're going to have to fight a little while. Sometimes you have to let them fight a little while. Then people find out how tough the fighting is. These guys know right up here. These guys know. Right? Sometimes you have to let them fight. It's like two kids in a lot. You got to let them fight and then you pull them apart.
You know, no American blood is being spilled, but
yeah,
let these guys.
A couple of kids.
Right, a couple of kids, and even though there's, you know, thousands of people lying dead on a battlefield now, these are living, breathing people 5 days ago. The majority of them were U.S. allies that we supported, that we armed, that went and did the fighting and dying with us in Iraq, and also in all this insurgency in Syria.
But to your point, you know, he just puts it on the simplest possible level with the base and just says, hey, I told you I was going to get out of senseless wars, and I am. And in Dallas last night, his people couldn't have been more enthusiastic, you know. And I think to some degree, all this impeachment stuff does nothing but rally his base. They're madder and more supportive than ever. He says, we're ending a useless war, but then you get somebody like Dan Crenshaw, who's a Republican veteran congressman who's a strong supporter of the president. He's just like, no, that's not how it works, Mr. President. This is, by pulling people out, you're creating potentially much greater loss of lives and more wars down the road, not less.
But Mark, you've run a lot of Republican campaigns throughout the years. Is the president really at risk of losing Republican support in this upcoming election?
What's confusing, I think, for a lot of people is why at a time, why ever, but why now, especially when the president needs, complete solidarity in the Republican Party on impeachment, why he would go do something that would, split the ranks, which it's clearly doing. On the other hand, you could say, well, although Republican key constituents are, upset about the policy, politically it's got an advantage, which is this. They say, look, hey, I'm not with the president on everything. See, I'm standing up on this Turkish situation. I disagree with that, but it stiffens the backbone on impeachment because it kind of gives them a card to play to say, I'm not totally in the bag here, but I'm with the president on impeachment.
Right, but
That's a little bit of a double reverse, but...
Yeah, but this doesn't rise to the level of impeachment. And I wonder, Mark, is it possible that you're going to have a number of Republicans in the House that would vote to impeach, right, which then takes a trial to the Senate, doesn't actually take him out of office, but people who would vote in the House to do that, who know, I'm just going to fall on the sword anyway, because I'm getting out of this business, because this is no longer my Republican Party.
I don't want that to be my legacy, and I want to take one last stand, sure, more antics like Mick Mulvaney from yesterday. There may be even some who are running again to just say, this is just a bridge too far, but like I said, we can't imagine it getting worse, and then it keeps getting worse, so...
All right, quickly before we let you go, back to the Democrats. Pete Buttigieg does seem to be the ascendant one here.
Absolutely, Ro. I agree with you 100%. I think that he had his best debate performance by far, and he kind of just grew onto the stage a little bit. I mean, before it sort of seemed like he was in town halls, but at this debate, he seemed to be more of a commanding presence. And it was one of those performances where I think a lot of others, looked at him and said, you know what, that guy could be president. So it was a powerful performance. He's got a lot more money in the bank than Amy Klobuchar does. So I think he's sitting in a very good position to make a move. I think he is making a move. And to your point about being different, I went to Yale like 6 months ago now, and I did an exercise with students, and I talked about how over history, when we turn out a president or his party, we do it with somebody who's the exact opposite, not a replica of the person who's in there, right? Which makes sense. So you had sort of, Obama to Bush, Carter to Nixon, you just kind of go down the line. And then I said, okay, who's the most opposite? And it was clear by a mile that the person most different from Donald Trump is Pete Buttigieg. You know, you can see how that would be interesting in a lot of ways, just imagining him debating Pete Buttigieg. It's like, he knows how to debate Biden. He knows how to debate Warren. What does he make of Pete Buttigieg? You just kind of see how he'd be, right. Like, you wouldn't get him, which would make it a lot more interesting.
Yeah, they do seem like they're in two different planes.
Yeah.
I don't know if he's going to be able to win those key battleground states, because I think a lot of cultural conservatives are going to come out, and even people who don't really like Donald Trump and go, well, I don't think I can go here. This is an openly gay man. He's married to another man. It just doesn't make any sense. It's like he's in a lot of ways testing the waters that Barack Obama tested. Is America ready for a black president? And the answer was resoundingly yes. However, there was a backlash to that, and I think that whipsaw may actually play against Pete Buttigieg here.
I don't know, Ro. I mean, the Obama example is the perfect one. We always talk about how, X has never happened in American history with American presidents, and then X happens, and Barack Obama's Exhibit A, and we never elected a black president. We never elected a peanut farmer. We never elected this or that, a Hollywood actor. I think that conventionally that would be the concern, and may be true, but I think it's also possible that America's reached a point where they are more than ready to elect a gay president, and in fact that would exercise a base in American politics that hasn't been exercised before, and would turn out in record numbers and perhaps be the margin that actually makes it possible.
Well, we did elect a self-styled real estate mogul. So,
and that guy.
Right, that happened. All right, Mark McKinnon, The Circus. You can see it this Sunday on Showtime. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Ro. Always love it. See you later. Kick it hard.